I'm very blessed to have two children, blessed to have a daughter, and we have a good relationship. We bicker back and forth, and we tease each other all the time. And so I got a confession to make this morning. Several months ago, my daughter was in a biology class at school. And me being a biology major, I was very interested in that class and how she might be doing in that class. And as it was, she and I were in the car driving down the road, and I was asking her, "What are you studying?" And she said, "Well, Dad, we're studying mitosis and meiosis." Well, being a biology major, I knew what mitosis was. And so I thought I would impress her a little bit. And I said, "Well, are you studying interphase and prophase and metaphase?" And I'm throwing out these big words having to do with mitosis. And she looks at me with this bewildered look on her face. And she said, "You know those words?" I said, "I sure do." She said, "Who knows stuff like that? You must be a nerd." So just so you'll know, you have a nerd presenting the lesson today. You know, it's been said that a picture is worth a thousand words. And pictures oftentimes tell stories. And pictures oftentimes help us understand concepts. When I was born, my parents lived on Annapolis Avenue in Sheffield, Alabama. And I attended services for the first time as a baby at the Annapolis Avenue Church of Christ. And it was there that I attended for several years as an infant and as a toddler. And I have very vivid memories of being in the basement of that old church building and studying all the famous little stories that we learn in Bible class. And I'll never forget Miss Connie Roden, and she's still alive. She attends the Shared Avenue congregation. She taught us the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the wee little man, a wee little man was he, and he climbed up in the sycamore tree, the Savior for to see. And as the Savior walked along, he looked up in the tree, and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there. I'm going to your house today." I learned on a flannel graph board. You remember those? Where they would stick the little figures up there, and I was enwrapped in the story as I learned about Zacchaeus and I learned about Jonah. But you know, folks, lessons and stories like this are not just for children. So I invite your attention this morning to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And we're going to look at this morning lessons from Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19. We're going to read the story, and then we're simply going to make some applications to us today as we look at the story of Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and he said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house.' And he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold.' And Jesus said unto him, 'This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost.'" The story of Zacchaeus. What do we learn? Verse number 3. Sometimes Jesus is hard to see. Sometimes Jesus can be hard to see. And that is so true even today. You ever been somewhere and wanted to see something and you just couldn't? One of my first memories of a situation like that where I got really frustrated, it was 1978. Yes, I'm telling my age. I was going to see the movie Grease, which was very popular at the time. And me and some friends got together and we were going to see the movie Grease. And if you'll remember, back in the 70s and 80s, that's when ladies had really, really big hair. I mean, big hair. And yes, one of those ladies sat right in front of me. I could not see. I had to lean to the left or lean to the right, but I couldn't sit straight up and see because her hair was at least 3 foot tall on her head. I could not see. It was frustrating. One of the things that our family likes to do is go to Disney World, one of our favorite places. And I'll never forget the first time that we went. Harrison was 3.5 years old, a toddler, and could run and go and go and go, had more energy than Joy and I put together. And one of the things that we had learned in talking to friends is if you go to Disney World, you cannot miss the 3 o'clock Main Street Parade. If you're going to Disney and you miss the parade, you've missed it all. So we arranged our schedule to make sure that we were ready to see the parade at 3 o'clock. And they told us, because we asked people when we got there, what time do we need to show up? Oh, you need to get there at least an hour early. An hour early. You got to get there at least by 2 o'clock and stake your spot out on the sidewalk so you can have a spot to see that parade. Well, we were going to see the parade. Harrison was excited to see the parade. And we got there early and we staked out our spot on the sidewalk. It was 150 degrees. Oh, it was hot. But we staked our spot out. And now it's time for the parade to start. And people, I mean just hordes of people everywhere piling in to watch the parade. And I look and my son is in the crowd and he can't see a thing. So what do I do? What does the daddy do? I picked him up and I put him on my shoulders. I didn't care if I saw the parade. It was very important for my son to see the parade. He needed to see. Being able to see is important. Sometimes, in the world in which we live, Jesus can be hard to see. Turn very quickly to Matthew chapter 14. I want us to look at one other instance in the Bible where Jesus was hard to see. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. We're just going to read a few scriptures here very quickly. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples. This is verse 22 of Matthew 14. To get into a ship and to go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. In verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. In verse 27, but Jesus spake unto them, and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Here's an instance where the disciples, Jesus comes out on the water to save them from certain death because the winds were bad and the ship was tossing to and fro. But you know what? They didn't see him. What did they see? They saw a ghost. They didn't see Jesus. So let's bring it home to 2016. What gets in our way of seeing Jesus? What makes it hard for us, as children of God, to see Jesus? First of all, sometimes we look for Jesus in the wrong place. We look for Jesus in the wrong place. In Luke chapter 2, we have a great example of this, where Mary and Joseph were going to Jerusalem, and they took Jesus with them. He was a small boy at the time. They were going, as was their custom, to Jerusalem for the feast days, Passover, lots of people there with them. And you remember how the story goes. As they were coming home, they missed Jesus. They could not find him. They assumed that Jesus was with the other family or that Jesus was with some other friends on this journey back home. But after a day or so, they began to get nervous because they couldn't find Jesus. And the Bible says that they finally had to go back to where they came from. They had to go back to Jerusalem and started looking for him there because they couldn't find him within the company of people. Yeah, you know how the story ends. You know where Jesus was found. He was found in the temple. Did his mom and dad go looking in the temple? No. No, they were looking everywhere but the temple. They were looking among the people. They were looking among family. But they found Jesus in the temple. You see, sometimes we look for Jesus and we don't find Him because we're looking in the wrong places. We won't find Jesus and the satisfaction that He brings in our jobs. We won't find it in our hobbies. We won't find it in the pursuit of money and worldly pleasures because, you see, Jesus is not there. Jesus is not there. Jesus can also be hard to see because our vision can be blurred by the world. In Mark chapter 10, we have a perfect example of this. The story of the rich young ruler, and you know the story. How he comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus begins telling him some of the commandments, and he says, "I've kept all of those. I've kept all of those. My whole life I've kept those, Lord." And Jesus says, "But you lack one thing. You just lack one thing. Go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor." And the Bible says that he went away sorrowful. He went away unhappy because, you see, he wanted Jesus and he wanted to be with Jesus. But the things of the world and his stuff got in the way. It got in the way. In Isaiah chapter 5, I'm going to read two verses. It simply says this. And you remember what the prophets had to do. You remember how the children of Israel, they were in and out of faithfulness. Some days they loved the Lord and they followed Him. And other days they ran away from Him. God got angry. And it was back and forth, back and forth. And in one of those instances, Isaiah says this. In Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Could that be said of our country today? That we like to call good evil and evil good, that we are wise in our own eyes and that we don't need God? You might be able to see this from where you're sitting. This is the latest Sports Illustrated that came to my office. And when I first glanced at it, I thought, well, it's a pretty lady on the front. It's actually Caitlyn Jenner. There she is in all of her glory. And the caption says, here's the story if you want to read it. "As you know her now, or as you never knew him then." We talk about our Congress, our representatives. We talk about our president. Look at the governor of our state. And we say, "God help us. We need a new president. We need a new governor. We need somebody to turn this place around." It's not what we need. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Jesus is hard to see in this country today, but that's what we need. And if it doesn't start in this room, it won't start anywhere. If it doesn't start with God's people, it won't start anywhere. Do we expect the world to hold up the Bible and God's standard? No. We're called to do that. One of the things that we learn from Zacchaeus is that Jesus can be hard to see. Number two, in verse 4 of our passage in Luke chapter 19, verse 3 tells us he was short and he couldn't see because of the people. Verse 4 says he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree so that he could see him because he was to pass by that way. Point number two. In the story of Zacchaeus, perseverance is rewarded. Zacchaeus had a choice. He wanted to see Jesus, and he could stand there, a little short man in the crowd, and see nothing. Or he could find a way to get above the crowd and to see the Lord. That's what Zacchaeus chose to do. And as we read a while ago, his perseverance was rewarded. We know the end of the story. And we know what happened. Perseverance is rewarded. He climbed that sycamore tree, and as Jesus passed by, he was able to take a look. You know, we've always encouraged our kids to be involved in some sort of extracurricular activity, whatever it is. For Harrison, it happened to be basketball. Haley tried basketball, didn't care for it. Haley found her love in tennis. She had a friend that played tennis, and she decided that's something that I want to do. Don't come to Daddy for tennis lessons. I don't know anything about the game. But if she was willing to put in the time and the effort, Mom and Dad were willing to pay for lessons. We were willing to pay for some coaching. We were willing to pay for some clinics so that she could learn how to play tennis and play it well. And guess what? She did. She's a pretty good tennis player right now. She plays on her school's team, and she enjoys it. It's good for her. It's good exercise. She can beat me. Doesn't take much. But she can beat me playing tennis because I'm not good. So she persevered. And that perseverance has been rewarded now that she's playing a game that she enjoys. Anybody know the picture of the guy on the screen? If you watch the Olympics, you may know who this guy is. We're in the Olympic trials. And that's something I enjoy. We enjoy the Olympics. Our family watches this every time it comes around. Well, right now we're in the Olympic trials where people in this country are competing against one another to decide who gets to go to Rio and represent the United States. This young man is Steele Johnson. This young man is a 10-meter platform diver. And if you know anything about platform diving, there's no diving board that pops up and down. It's a surface like this, and they'll turn around and they'll stand backwards on their tippy toes, and they'll do these crazy flips down into the water. It's amazing to watch. I couldn't do it because I don't like heights. This is my limit right here, and I don't get close to that edge. But the 10-meter platform diving, this fella has worked hard to get where he is. But let me tell you what happened. He's tried to get on the Olympic team before. And in one instance where he was practicing and in some prelims and going to some competitions, he was doing one of his dives. And as he jumps from the platform and begins to spin, he doesn't push himself away from the platform far enough. And he gashes his head on the corner of that concrete platform. And he goes into the water unconscious with half of his scalp peeled back from the nasty blow that he took. He hit the water and his coach immediately ran and jumped in the water after him because he could tell this was serious. There was blood all in the water. He was unconscious. And his coach went in the water, literally held his scalp in place and paddled to the side and drug him up on the side of that pool. You would say, wow, that'd be enough for me. I'm done. I'm out. I cry uncle. I'm not going to do that anymore. Steele Johnson said no. He came back from that wicked injury, had a million staples and screws and stitches in his head, and he came back just a few weeks ago, and in a very heated competition against a young man by the name of David Dinsmore, he beat him out by just a few fractions of a point, and Steele Johnson and David Bodaya, who was the champion from the last Olympics, these two men will represent us in the 10-meter platform diving in Rio, which comes up next month. So you'll see this guy again. And when I see him and I hear his story, I think about perseverance. Revelation 2 and verse 10 tells us that we are to be faithful until death and we'll get the crown of life. Crown of life doesn't go to the unfaithful. The crown of life doesn't go to those who quit. The crown of life goes to those who are faithful. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race, they run all, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain." Run that you may obtain. So Jesus can be hard to see. Perseverance is rewarded. And number three, Look at verse 5. What do we learn about the story of Zacchaeus? Notice he's in the sycamore tree and he's waiting for Jesus. And verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, meaning the tree, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I will abide in your house. Point number 3, and this gives me great comfort and it should you. Jesus finds those who are looking for him. Notice those 3 words in verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Jesus looked up. Imagine Jesus in this throng of people with a crowd around him. He's completely surrounded. What would make him look up? Because Jesus knew there was somebody there that needed him. That needed him. That had an audience with him. He had a need. And it says that Jesus looked up. And when he did, he saw Zacchaeus. Jesus finds those who are looking for him. In John chapter 4, you'll have to turn there. We know the story of the lady at the well. How that Jesus, when she came to draw water and they started a conversation about living water and never thirsting again. Verse 25 of chapter 4 is very interesting to me. You wonder, why is Jesus and this lady at the well anyways? Verse 25 of John chapter 4 tells us that the lady, after speaking with Jesus and not realizing who he is, she says to him, we are looking for the Messiah. We are looking for the Messiah. We are looking for Jesus. We're looking for him. Was it any accident that Jesus was at the well and that they had a conversation together? No. She was looking for Jesus. She did not know she had found him, but she was looking for Jesus. When kids are small, you take them to the store. Sometimes you have to lay down some ground rules. You stay with me. You hold my hand. Don't get out of my sight. One of the things that Harrison liked to do was he would hide in the clothes racks. Okay? Now, that's not a problem if you're just standing in the clothes rack. You can see his feet, so he's easy to find. He's really easy to find. But one day he decided he was going to try and outsmart mom. And he got in the clothes rack, in the center of the clothes rack, and he stepped up on that little bar that's in the middle. He was completely hidden. You could not see his head. You could not see his feet. You did not know where he was. Mom begins to panic. Now, he'd done this before, okay? He had done this before. So, mom thinks it's a game. And she goes to look and look and look. And when he's not in the general area, she moves to another section and another section. After a little while, even Harrison begins to wonder where Mama is, because Mama's not there anymore. Mama's voice is gone and she's looking in other places. Finally, she finds him. And I believe there was a belt involved, but we won't go there. But Harrison was looking for Mom, but Mom was also looking for him. There was a point in time when Harrison got scared and it was no longer a game because he wanted his Mama. And he was in a store and he couldn't find her. And where was Mama? But Mama was already looking for him. You see, Jesus finds those who are looking for him. And finally, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 9, the Bible says, we know what happened. Zacchaeus comes down from the tree. Zacchaeus takes Jesus to his house. And in verse 9, Jesus says, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Point number four. Jesus exceeds all our expectations. What did Zacchaeus want? Originally in the story, all Zacchaeus wanted was to see Jesus. That's all. He had no ulterior motives. He wasn't sick. He wasn't lame. He wasn't poor. Matter of fact, the Bible says he's rich. He had no physical needs. All he wanted to do was just see Jesus. That's all he wanted to do. But what he got was so much more, according to verse 9. He got salvation. He got forgiveness. He got so much more than he expected. Don't we like for folks to exceed our expectations? It's kind of surprising, but we like it, don't we? Talked about Disney a while ago. Those people know how to do it. They will exceed your expectations in an unbelievable way. Now, they'll charge you for it, but they will exceed your expectations. In talking about the parade, you should see how systematically they get ready for that parade when there are thousands of people in the middle of the street. And they come through and they start laying down that tape and they start putting up those little barricades and those rope lines, and they're starting to move people out of the center of the road because it's time for the parade, it's time for the parade. And you see all these cast members come out, and they all have a smile on their face, and they say, "Could you get on the other side of the line, please?" And they say it with a smile. And kids are screaming, and they're hollering, and they're hot, and they're tired. "Could you get on the other side of the line, please?" And they smile. They never get upset. They never raise their voice. Because you won't find a surly, ugly, disrespectful cast member at Disney. Because they will send you home. They don't put up with it. We have a store in our town that's the very same way. Ever shopped at Publix? I'll never forget the first time I went in there. And I do a fair amount of grocery shopping. It's not a woman's job. I can grocery shop, and I do it occasionally. So I was going to Publix, and I needed some pimentos. I knew what pimentos were, okay, in that little jar, and they're red. I knew what they were, but I wasn't really sure where to get them. After hunting and hunting and hunting, I thought, okay, I give up. Cry, uncle. I'm pushing my cart down the aisle, and I see a little worker, and he's bent down, and he's busy putting his stuff out on the counter. And I said, "Excuse me." And he turned around with the biggest smile on his face. "Yes, sir." I said, "I am looking for pimentos. Can you tell me where the pimentos are, please?" And I expect him to say, "Aisle 5. Nope, didn't do that. He stopped what he was doing. He got up, looked at me and said, "Follow me." And he took me to the pimentos. It was like 4 aisles away. He walked me over there and he stood there and said, "Here they are." And he waited for me to pick out the one that I wanted. And then he said, "Is that all you need, sir?" And I said, "Absolutely. Thank you. You've been most helpful." And then he said, "You have a good day." I was floored. Never happened at Walmart. No, no, no. But it happened at Publix. Because at Publix, they're going to exceed your expectations. Jesus exceeded the expectations of this man by giving him salvation. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 talks about the God that we serve and the Son Jesus that he sent to be the propitiation for our sins, to take our place. The Bible says, "Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think," that's the God we serve, who sent Jesus in our place. And Jesus is going to give us more than just forgiveness of sins. He's going to give us a home in heaven. He's going to give us a better life here. He's going to give us wonderful Christian family. He's going to give us brothers and sisters in Christ that think like we do. Yeah. Jesus is going to exceed all of our expectations. You know, we sing a song a lot of times before the Lord's Supper. And I want us just very quickly to sing the third verse of this song that talks about who do I boast in? It's not me. It's not what I've done. It's about what Jesus has done on my behalf. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should not give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. We know Zacchaeus lived under the old law. He didn't have to be baptized at that point, but Jesus forgave him of his sins. We're under a different law today. So for us to come in contact with that forgiving power that Jesus offers, then we have to be willing to follow Him. And that includes repenting of our sins and being willing to turn from sin, confessing Jesus as Lord and putting Him on in baptism. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, the Bible tells us that the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, that the Lord knows those that are His. You see, I can't look out over this audience this morning and tell if you're in a relationship with God or not. I can't tell if you're sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven or not. Not by just looking at you. But the Lord knows those that are His. See, the Lord looks at this group of people this morning. And He knows. Martha's mine. Carolyn's mine. Bob Harrington's mine. Hal Gift is mine. Susan Clark is mine. See, God knows. He knows those that are His. I don't know what you've come here with today. I don't know what burden is on your heart. I don't know what sin may be plaguing you right now. One of the greatest verses in this entire passage comes from verse 6. In verse 6, when Jesus looks up and He tells Zacchaeus to come down, the Bible says He made haste, which means He did it quickly. He came down out of the tree and He received him joyfully. He received Jesus joyfully. I'm not asking you this morning to climb out of a tree. You're not Zacchaeus. I'm simply asking you this morning to open your heart. Open your heart. Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will open, I will come in. Our scripture reading this morning, ask, seek, and knock. That's the promise that we have from God. Lessons from Zacchaeus. Do you need the Lord today? Is there something that's bothering you? A heart full of anger? A heart full of judgment? A heart full of jealousy? A heart full of bitterness? A heart full of an unforgiving spirit? None of those are fruits of the Spirit. None of those will be found in heaven. Don't let it be found in your heart today. If you've never obeyed the gospel, what better time than today to say, I'll do it. I want to repent of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm willing to be baptized today for the forgiveness of my sins. If you want to do that, you can. Maybe you've done that a long time ago, and the world's gotten in your way. Your vision is blurred, and you really want to see Jesus again. You want to get a clear view of your Savior again. He stands at the door and knocks. We invite you to come this morning while we stand and while we sing.